Questions are something that we face every day of our lives. Often the answers to the questions that we are posed with determine the path that we will take in life. For those in our congregation this morning that have young children, you'll be well accustomed to the multitude of questions that you face on a daily basis. Of course, those questions are often very simple in nature, and the answers are easy to find. That young children are more concerned with when they'll get fed, when they'll go outside to play, and the age-old question that every parent faces in the car, Mummy, Daddy, are we there yet? And so questions from young people of that age are usually easy to answer. But as most of you will appreciate this morning, as we get older in life, the questions that we face become more difficult, the answers harder to find, and it gets worse as we get older. We have to consider such questions as what we will do when we grow up, what career we'll follow, what school we will attend, what subjects we'll study, and then as you get older still, the decisions take on a greater significance because you have to answer the questions of where you're going to live and who you're going to marry. So as you can see, as you get older, the questions get more difficult and more complex, and the answers aren't always the easiest to find. There is no doubt this morning that the most important question that anyone will face on this scene of time is in relation to their eternal soul. The question, where will you spend eternity, what you will do with Christ, is the most important question that any person will face on the scene of time. Because your answer to that question will very simply determine where you will spend eternity. There is another question, however, that perhaps very few of us have asked ourselves, but one that I believe the answer to says a lot about us as believers. The question very simply can be put like this. What is our testimony? What is our testimony and our relationship to and with God? If we had to sum up our testimony, or sum up our relationship with God this morning in a very short sentence, I wonder what could be said of us. Perhaps more telling, however, if our friends and family, if those in the church that know us, were asked to sum up our testimony, or sum up as they saw us as individuals, our relationship with God, I wonder what they would have to say about you and I. You know, as we read through the scriptures, we come across many different people who were greatly used of God during their lives on this earth. Think of Moses, of Elijah, of David, of Solomon, of Daniel, and of Paul, and all these men greatly used by God. And as you read their testimonies, and as you read their life story, you can't help but be impressed and challenged by what they did for God. Moses led the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt and towards the promised land. Elijah's ministry proved that Baal was a false god on Mount Carmel and that the great God Jehovah was the only living and true God. David was used to destroy the enemies of God. Daniel took a stand for God in a foreign land and became prime minister and exerted his godly influence as a result. And the apostle Paul became a great missionary and preacher, helping to build churches and to encourage God's people. And after reading such impressive CVs of these characters, we cannot help but be amazed by what they were able to do for God. Many of us would read these life stories and wonder how on earth we could ever hope to achieve such great heights as these men and women of God did. But despite the wonderful things that they did for God, they were just like you and I. What set them apart was their relationship with God. What set them apart was how they were with God and their relationship to Him. We have read this morning of one individual in God's Word of whom the question could very easily have been posed, What is your testimony, or what is your relationship to God? And the answer that Caleb was able to give told us all that we needed to know about this individual. Because in Joshua chapter 14, Caleb is coming towards the end of his life. And as he looks back over what he had accomplished for God, he was able to sum up his life very simply, very succinctly, and he said simply this, I have wholly followed the Lord. What a testimony. What a statement to be able to make in relation to how he was with his Heavenly Father. And the question and the challenge therefore goes to our hearts this morning. How was it that Caleb had such a testimony? And more importantly, how is it that you and I can be like Caleb? That when it comes to our time to leave this scene of earth, that we will be able to say of a truth, as we look back over our life, we have wholly followed the Lord. For the time that remains this morning, I want us to notice very simply three thoughts in relation to God's servant Caleb. And I trust the Lord will apply His word to our hearts this morning. Notice first of all with me then, the commitment that he showed. Caleb was brought up in the land of Egypt during the captivity. During his early years, he would have been under the dictatorship of Pharaoh. He would have seen firsthand of the torture that the children of Israel endured under their captors being the Egyptian people. But Caleb also would have seen how that God, in his love and in his mercy, delivered his people from the hand of Pharaoh, and they were delivered out of the land of Egypt and on their way to the promised land. Although we aren't given much information in relation to Caleb's upbringing, I believe we can say without a shadow of a doubt that here was an individual throughout all his life was determined to do his best for God. Caleb, in this passage of Scripture in Joshua 14, makes a very bold statement, we might think. As he surveys his life, he says, I have wholly followed the Lord. Now, in today's society, you often will hear people on the TV or the radio, and they will make bold statements about themselves. They will often say how wonderful they are, how generous they are, and how great a person they are. And very often, we tend to take those words with a pinch of salt. We don't necessarily always believe what we hear from that individual. But when you discover that there are five or six other people who are quite willing to agree with the statement that that person has made, then what they're saying carries more weight. We start to believe that maybe what they said to begin with actually was true. And so Caleb here in this passage of Scripture, he makes this statement, I have wholly followed the Lord. But as you read through the rest of the Old Testament, you'll discover that six times this statement is recorded against Caleb and his life. It's spoken by Moses in Deuteronomy 1 and verse 36. It's spoken by Joshua in Joshua 14 and the verse 14. And so therefore we're left in no doubt that this indeed was a man who wholly followed the Lord. But lest there be any doubt, lest there be any skeptics among us that would somehow wonder whether this was actually true, we discover that the Lord himself had a view on Caleb and his life. And we discover that the Lord's words exactly, Caleb has wholly followed the Lord. Surely there can be no doubt in our hearts this morning that this was a man of God who sought with all his might and with all his power to do his best for his Lord and Savior. But what does that mean? What does this statement mean, someone who wholly follows after the Lord? Well, the best way of explaining it is to give an example. And the example that I'm going to give is a very simple one. It's of a traveler and his guide. Let's take, for example, someone in Garva this morning. They want to make their way to Dublin, but they don't know how to get there. the only way that they're going to be able to arrive at their destination is if they follow the guide. The guide knows the path to take. He knows what roads they must go down. He knows what towns and villages they must avoid. And so for the traveller in Garva this morning to make his way down to Dublin, he must be totally and absolutely reliant on his guide. Therefore, it follows that he will never allow any distance to develop between himself and his guide. If he wants to reach his destination, he will ensure that at all times he is as close to his guide as is humanly possible to be. By doing so, he will arrive at his destination. If we apply that to the spiritual sense, you and I as God's people, we are the travelers in this scene of time. The Lord is our guide. Therefore, we should be ensuring as believers this morning that we never allow a gap to develop between ourselves and the Lord, that we're as walking as closely to the Lord as is humanly possible to be. We contrast that with what we read of the Apostle Peter in the early chapters of the New Testament, where it's described that he followed the Lord afar off. You see, at that point in his time, the Apostle Peter had allowed that gap to develop between himself and the Lord. He wasn't walking as closely as he should have been. But yet here we find that Caleb is described as being someone who wholly followed after the Lord. Simply put, he never allowed the distance to develop between himself and the Lord. How was that possible? It was possible because, firstly, he walked with God. On this scene of time, Caleb's pure aim and desire and endeavor was to walk with God. You know, we read of other people in the Old Testament of whom it was said that they walked with God. We think of Enoch. We can think of Noah. And there were these men, especially Noah, preaching for 120 years, warning the people of judgment to come. He was despised, he was ridiculed by all around him, but it mattered not to Noah. He was determined to walk with God. I wonder, can that be said of you and I as believers this morning, that we're walking with God? Maybe there's someone in our service this morning, and that statement used to be true of you. You can recollect back to that point in time in your life when, yes, you did walk with God. You fellowshiped with Him, but now something has come in. Something has taken over the place of God in your life. He's no longer king of your life. You're no longer in fellowship with Him. And just like the Apostle Peter, you're discovered this morning in our service as being one that is walking afar off. I'm sure most, if not all of you in our meeting this morning, have a best friend. Someone that you talk to. If you were to take your best friend out for a walk in the countryside for a couple of hours, it would be highly unusual, in fact probably impossible, for that period of time to elapse and you not say a word to each other. Your best friend is someone that you talk to. Someone that you communicate with. You'll discuss your problems and your difficulties. You'll ask for their guidance and for their advice. And you'll look to help each other along the path as you go. In the human sense, our best friend is the person that we discuss our problems with. But surely in the spiritual sense, if we're walking with God this morning, is that not what you and I should be doing on a regular basis? Walking with God, doesn't that involve communicating with Him? Doesn't that involve a close relationship and fellowship with our Heavenly Father, telling Him about our problems and our difficulties, seeking His face, reading His Word, so that, Caleb, we can be known as men and women that are walking with God. But not only was Caleb someone that walked with God, we discover that Caleb was someone that walked after God. Because he followed in the Lord's footsteps. Remember the analogy we used of the traveler and the guide. The traveler must follow the footsteps of the guide. Therefore, he's walking after him. And that's what Caleb sought to do throughout his life. As you read what he accomplished for God in the Old Testament, he was evident that here was an individual that walked after God. The Apostle Peter exhorts us in 1 Peter 2:21, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example," what? "That ye should follow his steps." Therefore, as believers this morning, we should be aiming to be those people that are walking according to his direction. We're listening to his voice. We're reading his word. We're following the path that the Lord has laid down for us in his word. And as we're going to see in a few moments, Caleb could so easily have followed after his companions and other spies in the book of Numbers. He could so easily have taken a path that was contrary to God and to his word, but he remained steadfast. I wonder, can the same be said of you and I this morning? Are we following in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior? Or is it possible that perhaps there's someone in our meeting this morning and rather than following in the footsteps of the Lord, you're following in a completely different path? I wonder, is it possible this morning that there may be those in our midst and the places that you attended this weekend, where you went, you know that the Lord would never have gone before you. And you know the path that you're going down at the moment is not the one that the Lord would have you go. The challenge then goes to our hearts this morning. Are we men and women who are walking with God? Are we men and women that are walking after God? But notice that Caleb also walked for God. You see, that was his ultimate purpose, aim and goal in life. Simply to walk for the Lord. Let me ask you a question this morning, believer. What is your aim in life? What's your goal in life? What is it that you're seeking to achieve? You see, for many of God's people this morning, their aim and their goal in life is to have the best car, the biggest house, the best job, the luxury holidays that come with it. And those are all the things, the material things of this life that they're aiming and they're struggling for. And somewhere down that list, perhaps even near the bottom for some, pleasing God, glorifying Him, doing something for their Lord and Savior. They've got so caught up in the things of this world that they have forgotten their aim and their purpose in life. The Shorter Catechism puts the question, what is man's chief end? And what's the answer? Simply, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Therefore, this morning, as believers, that is what our aim should be. In everything that we do, in everything that we say, that we're living our lives to please, honor, and glorify our Savior. I'm reminded of the words of the hymn, "I have only one life on this earth. And as vapor it's passing away, I must labor for treasures of worth ere toil ends at the close of the day. I've only one life to give. I could never withhold it from God. I have only one life to live. I must not miss the well done of God." Tell me this morning, believer, are you to be found walking for God? A Christian named Bill confessed his faith before 500 men. He gave his testimony of how he came to know Christ as Savior. They listened intently to what he had to say, and after he finished, they started to question him with regards to the testimony he had just given. One man asked him, "Bill, do you believe that Christ, men who die without Christ are lost and on their way to hell?" "Yes, I do," Bill quickly replied. Another question was posed to him, "Bill, do you believe in the power of prayer?" "Yes, I most certainly do. I believe in the power of prayer." Other questions soon followed. Then one man at the back of the room stood up and said, "Bill, I have a question for you." He said, "You've told me and told us that you believe that Christ died on the cross for our sin. You've told me that without Christ we'll die and are away to hell. You've told me that you believe in the power of prayer. Then tell me this. How much time have you spent in prayer for our lost souls this week? Silence. Then Bill hung his head in shame and quietly whispered, "None." I wonder this morning, is that a challenge to our hearts? We're men and women that love the Lord. We're men and women that are seeking to walk with God. But I wonder, does it show in the things that we do? I wonder how long did we spend in prayer for those members of our family that are outside of Christ? I wonder how long we spent in prayer this week for the members of this church that know not Christ as Savior. I wonder how long did you spend in prayer this morning for this area in Garva, for this week, for those men and women in this district that are dying without Christ. You see, men and women, if we are those that are seeking to walk with God, then it will be evident that we walk with Him. The prayer meetings in this church, both before the services and during the midweek, will be filled to capacity because we'll be crying unto God that He would save the people, the men and women in this district. Therefore, the challenge is, are we walking with God? Are we walking after God? Are we walking for God? The commitment that Caleb showed, but notice secondly and quickly with me the courage that he displayed. Because not only was Caleb known as a man who fully followed after the Lord, as you read through the book of Numbers and the chapters that we read together this morning, you'll discover that he was a man of tremendous courage. He was one of the 12 spies that was sent out to survey the land of Canaan and to report back to Moses and to the children of Israel on what he had discovered. Notice with me that he was willing to face the giants in the land. They had just returned from their spying mission. Moses and the children of Israel were sitting eagerly awaiting the description of what they would find. In the verses 27 through to 29, we discover that the report starts off on a positive note. "We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it is a land which floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it." You can imagine this morning, if you were the children of Israel, sitting listening to this report, your heart would have been encouraged. This indeed is the land that the Lord has promised to us, and it sounds like it's going to be the land that we have dreamt of. Then the report takes a turn. In the verse 28, "Nevertheless, the people that be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great, and moreover, we saw the children of Anak there." Then they start to list the different tribes and the different people that lived in the land of Canaan. And as they were sitting listening to this, you can imagine the children of Israel were full of fear, trembling of all the problems that they now saw, of all the difficulties that potentially would be coming across their path. This was going to be a lot harder than they first had envisaged. But we discover that Caleb comes in the verse 30, and it's interesting to note, he comes and he stills the people. And he stills the people by saying to them these words, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome." Yes, what courage this man displayed, but moreover, what faith he had. Do you know what's very interesting to note how he words it? Caleb did not say, "Let us go up at once and conquer it." He said, "Let us go up at once and possess it." Why? Because as far as Caleb was concerned, the battle was already won. God had promised them the victory. Therefore, all they needed to do was go up and to possess the land. The giants were there, but God's word was true. And you know, as believers, when we go through our Christian life, we are going to face many giants. The giants of doubt and of fear. The giant of worry, of financial problems, friendships ending. And the devil will try and throw up as many different giants and obstacles as he can in order to hinder our walk with God. So often, we get disheartened and discouraged, especially when the devil has been able to come in and attack us and gain a victory or two. But believer, take courage this morning. Always remember that the devil is a defeated foe, for he was defeated at Calvary. And oh, how he hates to be reminded of that, but oh, how true it is. How are we going to be able to face the giants in our Christian experience? We can only do so by putting on the whole armor of God. Therefore, we'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We'll be strengthened by the Spirit of God. We'll be strengthened by our past experiences and by the Word of God to our hearts this morning. So Caleb was courageous in that he was willing to face the giants in the land, but moving on quickly, Caleb was also courageous because he was willing to take God at his word. We find after Caleb had come to speak to these individuals and to encourage them, that the evil spies brought their evil report in the verse 32. They started to highlight in more detail all the problems, all the difficulties. And if you can picture the children of Israel after being encouraged by Caleb, that the Lord was with them, the Lord had promised them this land, and they were going to gain it and go up and possess it, then suddenly to have this report given of evil intentions, of everything that was there. The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people we saw are men of a great stature. And then to crown it all off in the verse 33, we saw the giants, the sons of Anak. The children of Israel on hearing this were fearful and were afraid. And you'll discover in verse 1 of chapter 14, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. After hearing this report, they completely forgot about what God has said in His Word. They completely ignored that God had promised this to His people, and immediately being filled with fear in their hearts, they spent all the night crying because of their situation. You know, we can read that passage this morning and wonder, why on earth did they spend all night crying and weeping? Sure, God had promised this to His people. There was no need for them to be fearful or to be afraid. Caleb was a man who had courage in his heart because he was willing to take God at His word. The Israelites had so easily forgotten that God would go before them. They saw the multitude of the enemy that they faced as being an insurmountable problem, but they had forgotten that God was abundantly able, that God would go before them into the battle. And so what if they were as grasshoppers in the sight of the Lord? Were the giants not grasshoppers in the sight of the Almighty God? God had given them victory so many times before. Were they now saying that God was no longer able? Caleb was simply willing to take God at His word. He didn't question God. He simply trusted and obeyed. And maybe, believers, this morning, that's a lesson that we need to teach ourselves once again, simply to believe and trust God. Take Him at His word. You know, this book is full of so many promises that are for our benefit. And yet how often we don't trust them. How often we fill our hearts with fear and with worry, rather than simply believing and taking God at His word. You know, there's a favorite verse of mine in Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct thy paths. And I heard a preacher speak on it once, and he made the comment. He says the start of the verse tells us to trust in the Lord. He said, why is it that so often we don't trust Him? The reason is because we don't love Him enough. For if we loved Him as we should, then we would simply trust Him, and then it would follow that we would obey His leading and His guiding. So believers this morning, if we are going to be in our lives like Caleb, to be men and women who are seeking to wholly follow after the Lord, then we need to be men and women that are willing to take God at His word. To believe the promises that God has given to us, and to know when God says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, that is a promise that God can never break. But notice also with me, Caleb and his courage. He was willing to take a mountain from the giants. As you come into Joshua chapter 14, you'll discover that Caleb is now some 85 years of age. He's reached almost the end of his life. And you know, he could be forgiven for putting his feet up and to enjoy his retirement, for it was something he most definitely had earned. But you'll discover that instead of putting his feet up for retirement, Caleb isn't finished. He says, we won't take the time this morning, but if you read through Joshua 14, you'll discover there was another mission that Caleb wanted to accomplish. There was a mountain that had been promised to God's servant, and Caleb was determined that he was going to get it. There's a challenge for our hearts this morning. 85 years of age, still going strong for God. Maybe that's a word for the older members of our congregation this morning. You may be getting on in years. You may not be as active as you once were and able to go and do the things for God, but you can still do a work for God in this church. You can still be here to encourage the younger members, to advise them. You can still be praying for God's servant. In other words, our work for God is never done, because there's no retirement in God's service. Caleb, at 85 years of age, still determined to do his best for God. You know, as I look back over Caleb's life and everything that he did, it is a real challenge to my own heart. Here was an individual who simply walked with God all his life. In reality, this morning, if we had been faced with the situations and the problems that Caleb had, I just wonder, would we have been as willing to follow the path that he took? Or would we have turned back on the problems that were arisen? Isn't it so often the case as believers that the first sign of trouble and adversity, instead of going through with God, we retreat from the battlefield? Simply rather than trusting God for his leading and for his guiding. The commitment he showed and the courage he displayed, but notice finally and very quickly, I'm conscious our time is gone, but notice with me the challenge that he leaves. It's a very simple one. It's summed up with what he was able to say regarding his own life. I have wholly followed the Lord. I wonder, believer, when it comes for our time to leave this scene of earth, I wonder as we reflect back over our life and what we've done for God, I wonder will we be able to echo the words of God's servant Caleb? You know the words of the hymn, "By and by, when I look on his face, beautiful face, thorn-shadowed face, by and by, when I look on his face, I'll wish I'd given him more." How sad it would be for us as God's people to stand before our Savior on the judgment day and to wish that we'd done more for our Lord and for our Master. God has given us the time, and the time is now. Surely we should be seeking with all our might and with all our power to do our best for our Lord and Savior. You know, there are many people that don't live up to their name. There are many kings who do not act in a kingly manner. There are many Christians, unfortunately, who are not Christ-like. But Caleb was one of those characters in the Bible who lived up entirely to his name, because his name means wholehearted or according to the heart. You see, he was the type of man that he lived his life with all his heart, whatever he did. He knew the Lord. He was committed. He was courageous. He was consistent. In summary, he simply wholly followed the Lord. May the Lord give us the strength and the grace as his people to be like Caleb and to aim us with all our might and with all our strength, that we will simply aim to wholly follow the Lord.